Hi, my name's Min. I'm from Southland again. I am known as the gangster pastor's wife. That is my nickname. I am very atypical pastor's wife. I used to be mean teacher to some of the junior high kids, now that they're all adults at our church. Yeah, Jessica and I, actually, we were gangsters together at Southland. We were gangster. They called us the gangster pastor's wives. Yeah, yeah. So I became a believer in high school, my sophomore year, and I attended a first generation Korean church for about 10 years with Jessica and Sunny, actually. And the moment I accepted Christ, everything was about God's kingdom. First, you know, seek God's kingdom, and that was it. It wasn't so much seek ye first God's, you know, kingdom and his righteousness. It was just the first part, okay? So we grew up in an environment where, you know what, when it came to God, church, Jesus, whatever he was doing, that's all it is, okay? Unfortunately, we didn't really learn the identity God loves us so much. So throughout our process of ministry and building God's kingdom, we're slowly learning about that God loves us no matter what, and all of that, right? So I'm 45, and I'm still learning, and I'm trying to figure out what, you know, all of that, and, you know, cutting off the lies and believing in all of that. So, you know, it's been kind of that kind of journey for me and for Jessica and Sunny, too, as well. So Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, Matthew 6:33. And these things, Jesus is speaking about are all the necessities of life, clothing, food, and shelter. And that's why, you know, we should not be anxious about tomorrow, because he will take care of it as long as you focus on the kingdom, okay? Again, this is not about identity. You're not performing, you're not doing things for God's kingdom. But once your identity in Christ is solidified, then out of that love and your understanding of who you are in him, you move. Ideally, that's the way you're supposed to go. You guys are young, you heard that, now you know, okay? So you don't have the excuse we do. So seeking God's kingdom changes and varies according to life stages, but the concept is the same, okay? How many of you guys are in college? Okay, good. So in college, generally speaking, this is when you have the most time in your life, where you're not bogged down by life or have too many responsibilities, right? And this is a time where your risk aversion hasn't kicked in. There's this thing called the prefrontal cortex of your brain. It doesn't get solidified till you're 25, okay? So what that means is that your logical side really hasn't hit yet. So this is the time to go all out for Jesus, okay? Yes. You serve in every capacity. Whatever your pastor say, you do it, okay? You go try this ministry, you try this, you serve here, you serve there, you figure out what you like, what's good for you, what your giftings are, okay? And you'll pick it up as you go, right? So this is a great time to explore. This is also the time you're most idealistic. So you see possibilities without interference of the what ifs. So you're going to jump in and you're going to engage, right? There's this realization that the world is big, but it's not overwhelming yet. It's actually exciting, right? You feel like you can conquer anything and you can do anything, right? The possibilities are endless, right? No? You guys are odd college kids. At least this is the way college kids should be, okay? You have this youthful optimism and this youthful passion, and this is when you make declarations and promises to God, and, you know, you give your life fully to God. You know, all the people that I know that, not all, a lot of them that are missionaries now, it was something that happened during their college years where their heart was totally open to anything that God, wanted. So they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this, and they declared it when they're in college, and then it came true later on, okay? You know, this is the time when you want to be a martyr, right? Go to Africa? Those kind of things, right? That's where you guys should be at. Because, you know, when you get older and as life happens, you get more scared. You do. You just see how things work and you get a little bit more scared. But now, you know, right now, this is the best time to go, yeah, God, I'm all in. I'm all that. Let me try all of that. Let's go for it, okay? So please, you guys are young. You guys don't know better. Go for it, okay? Go for it. Okay, also, since you have all this time, this is a time to hone in on your skills, okay? Whatever skills you have, do it diligently, build it up, okay? You know, I never grew up playing piano or anything like that, so like in college, you know, I just wanted to worship by myself, but I couldn't carry somebody else with me to worship with me, play guitar for me so I can worship, you know? So in college, I was so desperate. I'm like, okay, you know what? Somehow, I don't know how I figured out. I figured out some chords, and I just learned basic chords on my own, right? So throughout life, just kind of, I've kind of learned to worship on my own doing that. And that's because that's the only time I had to do it, to learn on my own. And also, that was the only time when my brain is young enough for it to absorb and really, you know, I can learn. Because right now, if I try to do that now, there's no way. It just won't sink in, right? So this is a time to learn new things. Build up your skills. Do things that you think that, you know what, it's not really useful now, but hey, I have an interest in it, and you just never know how God's going to use it. I'm actually using my ching 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 piano skills for my cell group because there's nobody in my cell group that plays anything. So I'm the only one, and, you know, I've been able to play, you know, and lead worship, you know, oddly, you know, just from the little skill I learned in college, okay? So think ahead in that way. Learn skills when you have the time. Have fun. Good, clean fun, but have fun, okay? And date. In groups. Do not be alone with the boy. But date in groups. Hang out with boys. It's okay. Just don't do anything wrong that the Bible says not to do. Got it? Do you understand what I am saying? You know exactly what I'm saying. Don't even mess with that area. Don't go there, okay? So college, got it? That's where you're at, right? Okay. Ministry in young adulthood is a bit different. This is still a good searching phase, but again, after 25, when your prefrontal cortex has matured, you know, you're able to assess risk, you think ahead, you evaluate yourselves, you set goals, and you regulate your emotions better, okay? So this is a great time to participate in everything, but be more purposeful about it. Partly because you don't have the time anymore. You have a job, right? And job, you do get tired. So you don't have the time to run around and do everything, but try a lot of different things. You're still young. You can experiment and see what you're good at, where your giftings lie, okay? And this is a time when there's a little bit more reality that kind of hinders that youthful exuberance, right? And I think some of you guys kind of feel that right now. And unfortunately, this is where the fear of the future kicks in, okay? And I know some of you guys are kind of feeling that a little bit because you are a little bit more serious about life. And part of the problem of this stage is you think that whatever you do now will impact your future directly. And for some reason, you think that the rest of your 60 years of life will be determined by what you do now. No, it's not, except when you do bad things. All right? Okay? Yeah, so remember that. That one thing you do. No, I'm just kidding. So know that what you do now will not necessarily determine the rest of your 50, 60 years of life. Okay? What you do now will help. You will develop skills. You will learn something about God. You will learn something about yourself. This is all a process that God uses for you to grow, become more mature in Him, and, you know, finding out who you are, all of that stuff. So please, don't go, my life sucks now. It's going to be like that for the rest of my life. You know, and I know this because, you know, we have some girls that get married in their 20s, and then when they're in, like, this bad place with their husband, they do the, oh, 50 years of my life, I'm going to be like this. It's going to be like this, and they get depressed, and they feel hopeless. I'm like, girl, you just got married. Chill out. You know, it's not, you know, there's seasons. 50 years is actually a long time. It's not eternity. Long, you know, but it's a long time. There's so many things that can happen. There's so many new things that God can do. So relax. Y'all need to just relax. All right? You live in California. You live in this bubble land in San Diego. So relax. It's not gonna be the end of the world. Got it? God's got you. Okay? So don't get overwhelmed by that. Ministry will not look the same as in college, and know that it's okay. Okay? College kids, close your ears, okay? What you did in college, which is crazy, okay? For you, it's okay to be crazy when you're in college. But when you, But when you're a young adult, you think, oh my gosh, I was passionate. I did this and that for the Lord. I was available. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then you go to work and go, I'm tired. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. What's wrong with me, God? I don't love you. There's something wrong with me. You understand what I'm saying? So that's kind of... That's our tendency, because we're performance-based too, right? So we look at all the things that we did just because you had time. It's not really because you had a good heart. To be honest, right? Right? Come on. You understand what I'm saying? So don't base it on so much what I am doing. Know your season. You do have a job. You are working. You are building for future. There are things that you do have to be concerned about where you didn't have to in college. Okay, so it doesn't mean you're not godly, doesn't mean God doesn't love you, doesn't mean you don't love God. Know that it's going to look different and it's okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now you have to find God and see God in this unsheltered, less protected environment. Because, you know, when you're in college, we all know college kids are a little, wild or whatever. So typically, college ministries, they are a little militant. They tell you what to do, right? There's organized events for you guys. There's all these things for you to grow in a safe environment. Okay, now you're growing and maturing as a young adult, so you're not going to have the box. You're not going to have those lines drawn in by somebody. And so that makes you anxious because you're used to the box. And God's saying, it's okay, step out of the box. I got you, but now see me where you are at, wherever you are at. Not just in that ministry box, not just in this organized event, you know, that the church or, college group, whatever, created, but see me everywhere in your life. And that is where the transition needs to happen. You are transitioning and maturing in seeing God in reality, in where he's at for reals in your life, right? Now you guys are not in this bubble where everybody around you is a Christian. You got to deal with non-Christians. You got to deal with some of the things they talk about at work, the way they treat people. So seeing God in those places may be a little bit more challenging. And so the transition may be a little bit more drastic for you. So that's why you may possibly feel like you're not doing so well. But it's actually a healthy place for you to realize who you are in that environment, okay? Because the environment doesn't dictate who you are, okay? Jesus dictates who you are. You just need to remember that, okay? While you're in this young adulthood stage, you're more tired, but please stay close to church. Attend your small groups. Meet with your mentors. You have to work, but you guys still have time. You don't have children running around. You just have me, myself, and I, okay? So you guys are working. It is tiring, but you're like 20. Come on. You know, you're young. You guys can make the time. Those things are essential and important. Do not let yourself stray from the body, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so no excuse. Jessica's 40. She can make cell group. You're 20. You can make cell group, all right? And immerse yourself in kingdom work, not because you're told to, not just because you're passionate and you have to conquer the world, and not because you feel like, you know, God won't love me, okay? Now you're learning, you know what? You're learning that this is what you were created to do, to be, right? So the whole focus and perspective just is just shifting. Okay, and so allow for that flexibility. Allow for your mind to change and move. Does that make sense? Okay, so don't just look at circumstances. Think about your brain being renewed, and God is renewing your mind from this situation, this way of living to another one. That's what he's doing with you, and he's making himself more available and more real to you, okay? But it just feels a little unsettling because it's not so easy. It's not so action-packed. Okay, so you have to be okay with the stillness. You have to be okay with the less downtime. Okay, and utilize that. Maximize on that downtime. Okay, this is a time when you should be soul searching, finding your identity as a Heejin was talking about, right? There's this book called The Search for Significance by Robert S. McGee, and that actually talks a lot about identity as well. And if you can figure out who you are now, establish that as best as you can, you know, your relationship with your spouse in the future, your relationship with other people, your relationship with yourself, you will be able to handle that so much better. You know, when my husband and I, we first got married, the first 8 years was difficult. 8 years is when I remember, oh my gosh, I feel so comfortable in my own home, okay? He had issues. But I remember, I think it was after the first year, we were probably the most, like, vocal and loud. But there was this time where, because I got married at 27, and he's such an extreme introvert. Like, he would never take me out of the house. I always felt like dogs get walked out of the house. You just never, I was a teacher, so I get these two President's Days off in February, right? So he promised me he'll take me out somewhere. The first vacation I had, the holiday. Oh, he thought, I gotta work, right? Whatever. So he worked at home. And then the second one, so I thought, okay, the second time. And then he tried to pull that on me again, right? Like, I gotta work. I'm like, I literally broke down like a caged animal. Like, I'm never gonna get out of the house, and this is the rest of my life. I'm gonna be like this, right? Because I'm generally an extrovert. But you know what that season taught me? At one moment, I was like, something clicked. I felt like God was just saying, you know what? What he does and what he doesn't do does not dictate my happiness or my sadness or my anything. I don't know. During that time, it just dawned on me. I feel like it was just Holy Spirit reminding me, you know what? You know, whatever he does for you or doesn't do for you should not dictate how you feel about yourself, about life, your future, all of that stuff. And when that realization, like, yeah, I'm a child of God. Who cares, right? So I was like, I'm just going to go out and, you know, go to all these weddings by myself, whatever. You know, because he was really extreme back then. He's a wonderful man now. If he was like this back then, I would marry him again. He's really, really great now. But yeah, so when that shifted, that understanding of, yeah, my identity is not determined. My feelings, emotions are not determined by what he does or doesn't do for me. When that hit, I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt so free. And then I didn't have to get cranky at him. I didn't get mad at him after that, right? I just went out, went to all these things by myself. And then eventually, I think he felt bad. One time, he said, you want me to go with you? I'm like, what? I'm like, what? You want to go with me? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, because some of our fights were about that kind of stuff, too. Because I wanted to live life outside of the house. Yeah. And then this is also a great time to work on your private victories, the small acts of obedience. Because this is a time when you have more freedom. And I want to say that you didn't have as much when you were in college, partly because you were surrounded by people. You were watched all the time. You had roommates. So there's an element of people are watching me. There's a little bit of odd, you know, accountability in that way. But now you're living by yourself. You don't have eyes watching you as much. So this is a time you need to build a history of consistent private victories, doing things that no one else knows you did except God. Okay? Private failures set you up to fear the future because you believe that you will not fail the next test or overcome something else. And you don't have the confidence as a believer, and your faith starts to wane. So when God asks you to do something and you don't obey, it will be easier to keep doing that and setting up patterns of failure. And then you're kind of more receptive to lies. Does that make sense? Okay? So in contrast, private victories consistently build stronger foundation. Okay, the small acts of obedience built over a period of time will help you overcome life's difficulties and challenges when you get older. You know, when you get older, there's actually more temptation, okay? It's temptation to follow different idols. When you get married, you have the temptation to make your husband an idol. You have the temptation to be so set and comfortable, and your children can become your idol. And then life happens, hardships, accidents, things of that sort. So if your foundation is not set, these things can actually derail you, okay? It can really derail your faith. And so what I'm saying is establish that healthy foundation now And it only happens with small acts of obedience first. And you know, when you think about King David, the reason why he was able to defeat Goliath was when he was shepherding the sheep, when he killed the lion and the bear, right? The fact that he kind of did that, when no one even was around, he just did that because, you know, he needed to protect and all of that stuff. And, you know, that kind of stuff, I feel like that built his confidence. You know, he was able to do that. And then when the public victory of Goliath, he was able to do that because he already had that foundation established. Does that make sense? So private victories will help with public victories, okay? So don't expect to have public victories later if you cannot have the private victories intact. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. secret place. Okay. This is so crucial. You guys have this time to be alone with God, and you're never going to get it back until your children leave and husband passes away. Listen carefully. They're all going to heaven. It's all right. This is the only time you have to be with God without having an undivided heart. When you get a husband, your heart will be divided. You will have to think about his needs. You will have to think about him. You know, you have to be concerned. And then you have children, all the more. You'll forget about your husband, but you have children, and you will have to think about. So your heart is always divided. And on top of that, time-wise, you don't have as much time because you have to be mindful of these other people in your lives. Does that make sense? So this time is so precious. Please don't waste the time. Utilize this time. Develop that secret history with God. Just sit there with God. You don't even need to talk if you don't want to. Sit there with God. Start there. Little chit-chat, you know, just spend time with God. Develop that habit and discipline of spending time with God. Because you would think that, if you don't have that now, you would think that when you go through hardship later, oh my God, I'm going to go to God right away. That does not happen, to be honest with you. You'll go to other places. You'll do all these other things to try to resolve your issues and problems. But if you have established that at the beginning, you know, when you do go through hardship, it will be easier for you to do that. And you will know God will be the one to guide you and help you and all of that stuff. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's young adult. Okay, ministry when you're married without kids, just when you're married. Okay, I want to say this carefully, but I probably won't. Just because you and your husband are married, you may not be on the same page all the time. Okay? So make sure to have your relationship with God independently, okay? Because I know y'all want to get married and go, oh, we want to do quiet time together, want to pray together, and, you know, you think life is going to be like this, but it doesn't happen that way quite often, actually. So please develop your own personal relationship with God, okay? Because you do not want, like, say he's in a bad place, and if you don't have your own independent relationship with God, it will obviously affect you, and then you both go down together, right? But at least if when he's in an unhealthy place and you're at a decent place, you can help build him up and vice versa, okay? Okay? So don't think he's my husband, he has to lead me. So I'm not going to do anything till he tells me, or we're going to do it together. Please don't do that, okay? Everybody has different seasons. Just because you're married, it doesn't mean you're going to be on the same season all the time. It's going to change. You know, sometimes you will be on the same page, but, you know, it varies, okay? So make sure you do that. The other thing I want to touch on is please don't get discouraged when your husband is not the quote-unquote spiritual leader that you think he should be, or what that looks like. Okay? Women get so discouraged and think, oh my gosh, he's really not Christian. I did not know that. Okay? Men grow after they get married, men grow after each child. Okay? It just happens that way. That's what God uses. Okay? Also, you know, spiritual leadership does not mean he just says, hey, let's do quiet time together. Hey, spiritual leadership eventually will look like your husband being more of an example. Spiritual leader can look like, you know what, he does what he can to make sure that you become the person that God created you to be. Okay? It can be someone who's quiet, but yet follows God and follows him, like, so closely. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that leader that dictates and is authoritative and tells you what to do, or, you know, that picture that we have. I don't know where we get that, but somewhere, right? But that's not spiritual leadership per se. You know, the Bible says that, for women, it says, husbands, love your wives, you know? And so it will end up looking like sacrifice as they get older and all of that stuff, but it's really loving you for who you are, and that's part of spiritual leadership as well, okay? So please don't get discouraged. Don't your husband. Why are you not? Can you stop watching TV? So you see how annoying that sounds to you? That's what you sound like to your husband. Okay? So don't do that. Pray for him. You know, pray with him. Yeah, but don't do that to him. Okay? And then also in terms of ministry, it's great if you guys do it together, but it's also okay to do separate things. Okay, separate different types of ministries. And also, if your husband is already involved in something, don't feel so pressured to do it with him. Because, you know, God has different things for everybody. And you can have a separate ministry apart from your husband, and that's okay. For those of you that feel like you know, I don't want a separate ministry and I just want to support my husband, that's great too. Just make sure that you're not hiding behind that. Because when you go to heaven, you know, your crown is your crown. His crown is his crown. You can't go, oh, I'm with him. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, right? At least I don't think it's in the Bible, right? I've never seen that. Because technically you are one, but I don't think it works that way, right? Yeah, and, you know, for me, you know, because Eddie was in ministry, he wasn't technically a pastor. He was just working for a church, but, you know, I was repelled by the fact that I had to be a pastor's wife, by the name, right? I really didn't like that, you know, because in a very Asian culture, it has to look a certain way, and I'm so not that, right? I can't handle that, right? So what I did was I purposely didn't do anything related to him, okay? He even would ask me, like, can you edit this for church? I was like, no. So, you know, he just did his thing. I literally did my own thing, and somehow God kind of created this ministry for me, and it just ended up going that way. And eventually, out of all the fighting and all that stuff that we did early on in our marriage, somehow he brought us together. Not intentionally, because I don't want to work with my husband because he's so opposite of me, and we would, like, fight because we're so different. But God somehow orchestrated that, and he's allowed us to come together and work together. So we do a lot of marriage counseling together. Okay, again, it was not my desire, but oddly, you know, we did our own thing, but God brought us together and worked on it, he brought us together, okay? So don't think just because I'm married, we got to do everything together, okay? You know, it's not always like that. It can be, but it doesn't have to be, and it's okay, okay? I'm just trying to get rid of all these, like, I don't know what, it's not even Cinderella, preconceptions of what you think it's supposed to look like, so, yeah. Okay, ministry with children. So, you know, Southland started the same year, actually. My firstborn was born a few months before Southland started. And, you know, when a church begins, it's just so much work. It's just a lot of things going on. And so when I had Kirsten, there was no pause of, I have a child, so my world stops, and it's about her. It's my life, my husband's life. My life is moving. And then my child was born, and she just came with us. You know? That's all. That's what it was. And then I just handed her off to everybody, and she played with everybody. Yeah. And I did more probably nursery stuff, more kids stuff, because, you know, I had her. Anyway, so that was, but that's how it was. It was an integration versus a, this is a whole different stage. I need to stop and focus on this. It was just a movement. We just continued. She just got on the on-ramp with us, and we just continued. That was it. And then when we had more children, we took them with us. Okay? So they learned to sleep anywhere and everywhere. Very flexible, dirty children. Okay? Yeah. Flexible and very dirty, and they're okay. You know, when we're busy at church, they will forage for food. They will survive. My son is notorious for that. He is infamous for somehow getting in some random, like, other department line and finding food as I'm doing ministry on Sunday somewhere else. Yeah. So I never worry about them getting food. I don't worry about it. They will survive. And my kids are not skinny. They're not skinny kids, right? Yeah. And to be honest with you, when they're little, like, they're so time-consuming and tiring, right? So Eddie and I would really fight and go, I got to go to cell group. I got to go ministry. And he and I said, no, it's on my turn. My turn. I'm like, no. And we would literally fight. Like, I got to go. Yeah. That's what we did. We're bad parents. Yeah. Yeah. And then locations change, okay? Have you guys heard of sofa ministry? Okay, but there really isn't one, but with children, you know, I find that I couldn't go out as much, but you know what? People came to my sofa. You understand what I'm saying? The kids ran around in the house, and we would do ministry there, okay? So, you know, you go to McDonald's play areas where the kids play, and you talk to with people. You go to Chuck E. Cheese, right? All the kid-friendly places instead of the cool, hip coffee places, right? It's no longer those kind of things. So location just changes. Ministry is the same. It's just location changes. And that's okay, right? The time you meet changes. You do not meet when it's daylight. Okay, so like our prayer meetings, we had to change it after a bunch of us had multiple kids. We had to change it to 9 p.m. We started meeting at 9 p.m. because the wives had to put the kids to sleep first, and then we would meet. Because not my husband, but some of the husbands could not put their own children to bed. Okay, so I don't know what that's about, but make sure your husbands can put your own children to bed. But, you know, but so we had to just adjust and meet at different times to fit according to our children's schedule or whatnot, okay? And sacrifices. You know, and this is something I struggle with still, that, you know, I didn't get to do the very average OC mom, you know, activities for my kids. You know, sports activities here. We just didn't have the time because it's so time-consuming. Practices during the week, weekends, and all these activities. We just didn't have the time, and we consciously made a choice. We did a little bit here and there whenever we could, but nothing consistent. And that was a conscious choice we made because, you know, there's only a certain amount of time in the day, okay? And to be honest, I still struggle that on occasionally when I look at them and go, oh, my gosh, you can't add. Or... Oh, wow, he can't play basketball. you know, because, you know, boys, it's kind of important. Those kind of things, I look at that and then I get a little, anxious here and there. But, you know that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. I used to really just hold on to that. And, you know, one time, Kirsten, when she was in junior high school, she mentioned, like, you know, school elections, right? And I was just kind of busy, so I was like, okay. And I didn't really encourage her to pursue it. And I just kind of, she didn't ask me or tell me that she wanted to. She just brought it up, the topic. And then I just kind of, okay. And then later I thought about it and thought, wow, you know, it'd be good for her to be part of that because she's a natural leader and she's just bossy, right? So she'd just be good at that, right? So I just prayed, God, you know, I don't, like, have the time to, well, I didn't have the time to sit there and have her, you know, pursue this or anything like that. I just, God, if you think this would be great for her and something that would be helpful, you know, would you facilitate that somehow where she can get involved in school leadership, right? So, and then later I asked her, so why don't you go ahead and try and put yourself out there? And she said, it's too late. The elections have passed, and so that was that, right? But a week later she comes to me and she says, hey, Mom, I think I'm the school treasurer. Amma, what? Amma, how is that possible? The elections are over. She said, I don't know. Because you get elected the year for the next year, right? So she's like, I don't know. And so And I was like, all right, whatever, right? And then so I went to one of the school events and I actually asked somebody. And they said, this is the only position that's appointed, not elected. Isn't that crazy? Right? And so when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, God, you are so faithful. You know, all these, like, my mama's guilt of, a bad mama, I'm not taking care of them well, I'm not making time for them, I'm not doing this and that. And God just kind of said, you know what, I got this. I got your kids, I'm watching out for them. I will do what I need to do for them to be what they need to be. Not what you want them to be, because that's totally different, right? But what he wants them to be. And so when that happened, that was just so reassuring. That was so reassuring. And I have another story about that, but I don't know if we have time. But you know, so when you're really, yeah, I just really, those things, whenever I get, I'm reminded of that, I'm just so thankful, yeah. And then in terms of provision, you know, obviously as a pastor, he didn't get paid much at the beginning. For a long time. we're good now, but I think that was something that we struggled with too, right? Because I was always working, and then you know, I was technically doing full-time ministry at the same time, and sometimes it was hard, and I'd get a little bitter. I go get another job, you know, and all of that kind of stuff, and, you know, I'd have conversations like that with him, but over time, I swear, like, when I think back on, like, things, how things have lined up, I mean, God really provides. I mean, even before I got married, I was in the credential program, and I had to do my student teaching before you get your credential. But I didn't set that up yet, but I get this phone call from a friend, and she says, hey, I'm supposed to go to an interview tomorrow. Can you go in my place because I decided not to go? I'm like, no, I'm not even looking for a job. I don't even have my credential. I can't do that. She's like, just go because I feel bad. And so I thought, okay, I'll go just for experience, interview experience, right? So I go, long story short, they offer me a job. They decide to give me an emergency credential. My school didn't really work with that school for the internship thing, but they worked it out. So I was able to get my full student teaching credit plus get paid for it on top of that for a whole semester, right? Isn't that crazy? And then after that, after I had Kirsten a couple years later, you know, I didn't want to work full time because Eddie used to watch her in the morning when I went to work, and then he would tell me all these stories about cute things she did. Pissed me off. I just got mad. I just got mad. Yeah, it was wrong. I was working my butt off at work, and he'd be all enjoying his time with my daughter. You know, so I didn't want to work full time, so I was going to quit. And then when I went up to my principal, she said, you know what? I will let you teach 0 to 2nd period, and I will give you full benefits. Right? And this is a public school system, right? They don't do that kind of stuff. This is only something God can pull off, right? So that happens, okay? And then Caden comes along. So I needed something more flexible. And randomly, an old friend of mine that I haven't seen forever calls me and she says, hey, come work at the charter school that I'm at. It was a full-time teaching position. They did daytime and evening hours because it was a charter school, so it was more flexible. And then I only needed to work 40 hours because they included my grading time in that as well. So I actually got paid more. It was more flexible. So I actually worked less, got paid more, right? How great is that? And my schedule was flexible. Right? Only God can do that too, okay? I'll give you one more, just to show you how awesome God is. When the funding ran out for this charter school, that's when Kara came along, okay? And obviously, I didn't want to go back to public school grading 200 essays, you know, with illiterate children. It's not very pleasant. You know, around that time, I just said, God, I just need this much money. I should have said it should have fallen off, you know, off the tree. But I said, I just need this much money anyway. I get a phone call. Again, a phone call. This girl tells me, you know what? I just started an after-school academy. You know, I can't do it by myself. You know, somebody recommended you. Can you come in and talk to me? I talked to her. I ended up owning half a tutoring center all of a sudden, right? But the great thing about that was I was able to stay home with Kara in the morning. I worked in the afternoon, and then I was able to go to cell groups in the evenings. Okay, and this is a miracle, I'm telling you, because where we had the tutoring center in the city of Fullerton, it's saturated. There's one on every block. Even in our building, there was four. Okay? And then we only opened 3 to 4 hours a day because just didn't want to work more. It was just too busy with other things, church and all of that stuff. So just couldn't do that, right? And we never opened on holidays. We never opened on Saturdays, right? But for 6 years, we were never in the red. Okay? To be honest, I hated it. Good times. I love the kids. I hated the Korean moms. The Korean tiger moms were, they were not good. It was very difficult. But, you know, just when I think about that time and how, you know, that provision, it's totally God. Okay, totally God. Because all the other academies were open for hours till 11 o'clock. They did Saturdays, you know, they did, their programs were incredible. Ours was dinky small, you know, we just, you know, did whatever. But, you know, God totally sustained it. So, you know, and there's so many testimonies like that, and I really can't explain it. You know, it's not because I'm righteous. You could tell, right, as I'm talking. You know, it's not that. You know, the only thing, you know, you got to really think, why did God provide like that? And first of all, I really think God wanted to show me love. You know, straight up just love, okay? And secondly, you know, I grew up like kind of like poverty mentality because my grandmother raised me. My dad and my grandmother raised me. So my grandmother went through war, right, Korean War back in the day. So she saved everything. Everything, you know, and so we grew up thinking that we didn't have enough ever. And then my dad, his business would always go up and down. We would be fine, and then we would be poor all of a sudden. And that happened kind of turbulently for a long time. And so in my head, I kind of grew up like, I never have enough. Even if I have something, I just kind of felt like I don't have enough. I have to constantly work for money to survive and things like that. So, you know, after kind of years of God's miraculous provision, I really don't have that anymore. I probably have more of a spending problem now, more than anything. But literally, I have tons of stories of little things of God's provision. It's like crazy, right? So that took that away from me, okay? Thirdly, and I think most importantly, I think he took care of those daily things for us, so that we wouldn't be distracted from his primary purpose for us at that time, because he was building the Church of Southland, okay? Even with our limited abilities and unrefined character, I mean, Eddie and I used to fight in the church. We are so bad. When we had, you know, we got married and we just didn't like each other, we couldn't fake it. You know, we so couldn't fake it, right? You could see it on our face, and I just pick it right in front of people, right? We were bad, okay? So even with that, you know, he, you know, wanted us to engage in helping build this church, you know. And although I was a recipient of provision ultimately, he did it so that his kingdom and his name would be known, okay? So it's not about me so much and that these things I'll get if I do this. But really it is about who he is, how faithful he is, and really the will of God. Does that make sense? Okay, so what I'm getting at is don't, you know, you're not going to go and kick them, go, God, you're going to do this for me, right? I'm going to do this. It's not about that, right? So just in seeking God's kingdom, pray for purity. Pursue, like with childlike faith, and believe when he says, yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that he will add these things to you, not because you can get something out of it, but he just does out of his faithfulness, right? So remember that, and each season of your life is different and challenging, but if you're flexible, you can be creative, you can see outside the box and see how God can work, I think you'll be fine, okay? So always seek first his kingdom, and his infinite wisdom he will work things out in your life, so don't be afraid, okay? Yay, done.